If you don't sit down this minute, Winifred, there will be consequences, bellowed Miss Fortitude. But Miss, I was just... Miss Fortitude turned and started to walk stealthily towards Winifred's desk, a low growl emitting from somewhere deep inside her. Yes, Miss Fortitude. Winifred scrambled back into her chair and stared at her textbook, trying to make out the words on the page as the tears swam in front of her eyes. It wasn't fair, she thought. I always get the blame for everything, and all I ever do is try and help. She snuck a sideways glance at Miss Fortitude, who now seemed engrossed in picking at what was probably a flea caught in her wiry arm hair. Winifred sighed. She really was a formidable lichen woman. If it wasn't for her mean streak and odd odour, Winifred could almost have admired her. Rumour had it she would have made the Olympic wear pack had it not been for an unfortunate accident involving a pitchfork. But since she'd started at the Full Moon Academy, Miss Fortitude seemed intent on making Winifred's life hell. It was almost as if she had an ancient vendetta against her. Adam Campbell viewed the petulant expression on his wife's face across the breakfast table and knew it wasn't a good sign. I thought I might make a start on the new barbecue today, he said, in an attempt at conversation. I know it's not the best time of year to be doing it, but it'd be nice to have it ready for spring. If you think so. Do you want to come and see what I'm thinking about doing? Not particularly. I'm sure you'll do a thorough job, you always do. The look she gave him was accompanied by a brittle smile that left Adam unsure as to whether her words were meant as a compliment or an accusation. The latter, he suspected, but chose not to rise to the bait. That would be asking for trouble.
Calm down, Arnold, Dinah said, putting a gentle hand on his arm. It's the beginning of her senior year. Most girls her age don't know what they want to do. She might change her mind. Calm down, he said heatedly. I can't calm down. Despite the assertion, Arnold composed himself. Her mother always had a soothing effect on him. The Justice family has given dozens of lives in the cause of law and order. We have an obligation. Danica felt it was more of a curse. Honey, what is it you want to do? Her mother asked. I want to apply to NC State, she said. Why there? Her father asked gruffly. They have a great aeronautical engineering program, Danica said. She saw that her father was about to object, so she hurried on. I can get my degree, join the Air Force, and become a pilot. From there, I want to try out for the NASA astronaut program. If not NASA, there are several commercial space programs I could join. By the time I get my degree and spend a couple of years in the Air Force, there will be all sorts of opportunities for me to get into space. An astronaut? Her father said, sounding bewildered. Are you serious? An astronaut? No. No way. No member of this family is going to be a damn astronaut. I will not pay for it.
10 minutes later, she was dressed and headed for the garden. A quick look around confirmed that Ben's car had gone. Now she'd made up her mind. She just wanted to be gone. She'd feed Sophie, then leave, and by the time Ben got back that evening, there'd be nothing he could do about it. Slipping the brake off the pram, she leaned in. Come on, Poppet, time to... She broke off, staring blankly at the little dent in the mattress where her daughter should have been. Her heart jolted. Sophie? She jerked her head up and looked around. The sunny garden with its flowering spring bulbs looked pretty as a picture, but there was no sign of her daughter anywhere, and the peaceful silence felt suddenly hostile. Sophie! Panic gripped her. She felt disorientated, remembering with a rush of relief seeing Ben leaning over the pram, before realising in the next breath that he'd had a meeting in London and would never have taken Sophie with him. Where was she? Her mind was muddled. Had she already taken her in? Oh, think! But it seemed the more she tried to remember, the more jumbled up her thoughts became. She started to run back towards the flat. No, the road. She changed direction, her feet flying over the short tufts of grass, her breath coming in suffocating gasps as she raced out through the back gate onto the pavement. The long, leafy street was deserted.
You all right, Hannah?
It was her neighbour's voice, coming from a million miles away. Hannah spun round.
Sophie's gone. She's gone.
What do you mean? But already Hannah was swinging away, choking on the sobs as she raced down the path to the quiet, deserted flat. She knew it was pointless, knew she hadn't brought her in, but still she checked every room, flinging open each door before rushing back out into the sunshine to check the pram one final time.
When Abigail woke up on the morning of the 12th of September 2025, she knew immediately something had changed. Well, perhaps that might be a slight exaggeration. First she sneezed and rubbed her eyes and stumbled to the kitchen to make a coffee. But then she noticed that something was very different. The light in her wonky kitchen had an odd glow and there was a strange buzzing in the air. And instead of the depressing grey she was used to seeing every morning when she opened the kitchen curtains, the sky was distinctly purple.
I think it's red sky, miss, but this is definitely a warning, all right,
laughed the jolly little man outside the window. Abigail pulled her dressing gown tightly around herself and waved before going back to pour her coffee. It was then she remembered that she lived on the 8th floor and she didn't have a balcony. Murray watched him go, waiting until he was out of earshot before turning to his sergeant.
A forensic's on the way.
His companion snapped his phone shut. Should be here any minute.
Good.
He bent down and had another careful poke.
Think you might be right, Harry. They look human to me, and as he says, possibly a baby.
He turned to look up at the other man.
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Harry Briscombe smiled. I'd never presume to guess what you're thinking, sir, but if you're referring to the identity of the skeleton...
I am.
There haven't been many babies gone missing in the area.
Precisely. Ah, looks like forensics are here.